And now it's time to say good morning to Peter Allam, our legal eagle, and continuing our chat about wills. Peter, very good morning on this Monday morning.
Yes, a lovely Monday morning. No wind, no rain. Beautiful. Spring is, yeah, definitely this time around. Right?
Yeah, now I think we've got a good spring morning.
Well, absolutely. We're back weighing on wills this week. It's wills month, as we said. September is the month that the attorneys concentrate on wills and offer free services to all clients during the month of September. We at Allam's participate in that. We chatted last week about the will and the first part of the will. It was found on all our stations and Wild Coast FM and Allam's. You could go in and read. So, you know, this week we go to say, you know, let's move on to the will itself. What is a will? A will is a legal document that can be drawn by yourself, which is not advisable, but it sets out who you are and what your wishes are one day when you pass away. In other words, it says, you know, you can add, you can start by saying you wish to be cremated or buried or whatever. You then say that you leave your estate to whomever you're going to leave it to. So it will set out who the beneficiaries are, and it will set out a portion as well that says who must look after and administer that for you. So, you know, they always have been done by attorneys mostly, but it's not something that's exclusive to attorneys, and there are a lot of companies, banks, and places, brokers that do wills as well. Nothing wrong with having a will done by them, but make sure that they're aware of what they're telling you and that you don't complicate things. My only take on that is that quite often complicated wills are brought to us by a family to say, please interpret this. We don't know why a dad or mom or family member made such a will, you know, giving this to that person and that to that person, this gold ring here and that there, and that stuff doesn't exist anymore and that type of thing. So be cautious when you do a will. Make sure that it's practical, that it's realistic. You know, and like I say, consult an attorney or consult somebody that knows what they're talking about. You know, but it's there. It's to administer your will once you're no longer with us anymore, and it needs to be sorted. A will can be handwritten or typed, but it must be signed by the parties in full on every page. At the bottom of each page, there's a legal requirement that a full signature of the person must appear, and two witnesses who must be completely independent. There cannot be anybody who's going to administer the will. It cannot be anybody who's going to inherit. So if you're on your dying bed and you do a will and you've got family members there and you're leaving to them, your will is going to be null and void. Call for the correct people to come in and help you. And, you know, we as attorneys are often called out to bedsides to say, so-and-so wishes to make a will, he can no longer sign. So long as we've got the doctor there and he can tell us if the person is compos mentis and knows what he's telling us, we can do a will, you can do a thumbprint and that type of thing. So there are ways and means of doing it. But don't wait until that situation arises. This is the month. Do your will. Doesn't matter what your age is. It's important to note that the will can be done at any time. So get in as soon as you can and do a will. Call our officers, come in, and we will help you to make sure that it's done correctly. It's also very important that the will must be dated. You cannot have a will that's signed and no date appears on there. It must have your identity number together with your present address at the time, and it must be dated. So the important things there are date, ID number, and signature and address. Those are the four things there that must be found on the will. And it's also important that the will must be kept in a safe place. You know, don't put it somewhere where family member gets hold of it and decides, oh, I don't like this, I'm not inheriting, and tears it up. Without the original will, unfortunately, there ain't no will. It's a hell of a thing to bring an application and try and prove that that was what the intention was and that type of thing. So be careful to make sure that you identify your will. I always say the safest is we at Allam's will keep your will in a fireproof safe for you. When you die, you've got a copy of the will and it says will at Allam's. When they come in here, the original will be here with its signature. So, you know, it's important that the will is kept safe and all the rest of it. You know, the the will, you can leave specifics to specific people. You can leave balances to the entire family if you want to. You can control it there. The attorney will sit down and tell you how to do that. Mm. You know, also what's of importance is that in the will, if, for example, you have children and they're married, there's a clause in there that can exclude the married partners from the will. Be careful where kids are married in or beneficiaries are married in community of property. You need to identify that they will be excluded from the spouse from the inheritance if necessary and that type of thing. Mm. Those are all the type of things that they're going to tell you as an attorney, you know, to make sure that it's done correctly. If there are minors involved, you've got the Guardians Fund that will come into play if you do not specify that a trust needs to be set up, appointing trustees to control the estate of the children until they reach a certain age. You know, and of course, and that all leads to the trustee or the appointment of an executor. It's very important that you've got the right person that's going to do it, that's going to carry out your wish. That's not going to be influenced by anybody, that's going to be fair to all and act on your behalf as you instructed when you gave him the will to make on your behalf. Mm, so a lot of people out there appoint family members or a friend or something like that. I'm not saying that it can't be done, but it's not ideal.
Yeah.
Because you need somebody that's got a fair look to everything and knows what they're talking about. So be cautious when you appoint the executor in a will. You know, there's massive problems at the moment with the master's office. So if you've appointed somebody that doesn't know what they're doing, you're going to have a hassle, and it can take years for the estate to be wound up. Already as it is, we have moans every day. People think it's the attorneys delaying it. People think it's the banks delaying it. But in fact, it's the master's office. It's been on carte blanche, not something that I'm making up or anything like that. So just be cautious and make sure that you get everything correctly done. You know, if you're going to appoint somebody, a lot of people want to appoint a brother or a cousin or family member or a close friend or something like that. Do that, but then appoint an attorney or someone with that person. You know, you can have it drawn up by an attorney and appoint both of them as joint trustees. In fact, basically, lately the master insists as well that you've got somebody with knowledge that is able to assist and draw it up. You know, people always come along to us and they say, yeah, but your attorneys charge such a lot for an estate and that's why we don't come to you. Absolute nonsense. No such thing. It's a set fee of 3.5% no matter where you go. If your friend that does it, that's what he's going to get. If it's a bank that does it, if it's whoever that does it, that is the percentage that there's going to be. And it's worth your while to ensure that that is paid and done. Yes, some estates are quick and easy. Some estates are lengthy. And, you know, it depends on the value in the estate as well. Some are done for next to nothing. Some are done with a nice fee. I'm not going to say, you know, that they're not, but, you know, you've got some that are good, some that are bad. And you've got to take that into account. The attorney's not there to do you in any way. So if you don't appoint an attorney, then, you know, the master or family friend that you've appointed is going to have a hell of a business trying to do it, trying to get things through to the master and that type of thing. And also what's happened is that if you appoint someone strange, again, the master is going to ask for a bond of security. So depending on the size of your estate, the person's going to put up security to make sure that he doesn't take your money in, sell your assets off and open a bank account and run away with it. So, you know, an attorney will know how to get around that, and you can excuse him from doing a bond of security, which is the best thing because, you know, it's not necessary. It's covered by the attorney's, you know, law society and that type of thing. So, you know, an attorney is your right person in my eyes, and they will help you and make sure that it's done correctly. So they will draft your will. They will discuss it with you. They will discuss your beneficiaries, discuss whether you want to be cremated or buried, discuss the appointment, discuss the distribution and everything like that, and then have it properly signed. And like I say, I believe in keeping it safe in the hands of the attorney. And you know, a lot of people ask as well, oh, if I make a will today, what happens if another child comes along? What happens if I want to change something and give a benefit to somebody? You can always change a will. You can add a codicil to a will, which is a proper document that's drawn, which is adding an addendum to the will that you've made. You can take precautions to safeguard that correctly, that it's filed correctly, and that type of thing. You can go back to the attorney, and he will help you with that. People also ask, we said last week that we'll chat about it, what is a living will? And, of course, you know, the other one is what is the position with regard to organ donors. Okay, so those are two separate things. The living will is a complete separate document that you will enter into. It's basically a letter to your physician or doctor or health authority and to your family. And it's a note that comes along to say if at the time comes that I can no longer take part in decisions for my own future, let this declaration stand as my directive as to my future. And in there, you can say, do not resuscitate. I do not give my consent to any person's attempt at resuscitation should my heart and breathing stop and my prognosis is hopeless. So you put that in there. You address it yourself. And if there's no reasonable prospect of any physical illness, recovery, or impairment expected to be severe, that you'll be basically a cabbage for the rest of the life, you have a right to die naturally from that. And, you know, you can then enforce that. But that's got to be a separate letter, and that must be kept normally with the will. It's a separate document. It must not be incorporated into your will. It cannot be part of your will. So you cannot do a will and in the will do that living will attached to it. It must be a complete separate thing. And invariably as well, you know, you need to make sure that you alert people that there is that. And it must be in safekeeping as well. It must be an original. It must be properly signed. And it's the doctor and the family that will make the decision, but the doctor more importantly than anybody else. So that's your living will that you need to do. Your organ donor is something else as well. It doesn't come automatically. You know, you can't as a family decide that so-and-so's in a car crash and you want to give away his organs. There must be a specific in that regard as well. Family can make decisions. Sometimes it happens. But it's better for you to set it out in a document beforehand, you know, to say that if you, let's say you're involved in an accident and you're decapitated or something like that, that your organs and that are good, you can do, you know, what they call an organ donor document. Similarly, must be signed and properly done, and then your organs will be used as best can by the surgeons and that type of thing. So those are two little extras that are not part and parcel of a will, that are separate to a will, and that must be sorted independently. So you've got the Organ Donor Foundation. I'm not sure how you get hold of them, but I know it's called the Organ Donor Foundation. They do have a toll-free number. You can phone there and they'll guide you as to what to do, or you can go to an attorney who will do the necessary letter for you in that regard. And then, of course, with the living will as well, you need to make sure that it's known to people. No use going to an attorney doing a living will and not telling anybody about it. Make sure that you tell the people that you have a living will. Make sure that wherever you keep your will, the living will is with it, and the organ donor letter is with it as well. Make sure that they're kept together. So those are three things that are very, very necessary. You know, if you're in an old age home or something like that, make sure that you tell the people where your will is, that you've got a living will, that you've got an organ donor letter and that type of thing, so that people are aware they are. So that's basically where you are. Cost of a will, as I mentioned, this is Wills Month. There's no cost at all. The attorney will do it for you free of charge if they're participating in Wills Week. So make a call, get in, see your attorney, and get your peace of mind as far as your estate is concerned. And don't say it's not going to happen to me. You can walk out into the street today and get run over by mistake. You know, nobody dies intentionally. Nobody knows. The only thing we don't know, the only thing we know is that we're going to die, but we don't know when.
Don't know when.
So don't delay things, you know. Yeah, that's basically it on Wills.
Well, maybe more of a comment than a question, but you mentioned the organ donation, and that's sort of obviously one that you don't, you know, you don't like thinking about these things, but it's in a way very, very important, because that foreplanning could in fact save lives. And the looking at it in a sort of almost a tongue-in-cheek way is it actually almost seems a waste to bury good body parts where they could help somebody else. But like I say, on the other hand, it's not something that you really want to think about, but something that should be thought about possibly.
Yeah, you know, it's something, you know, if you think about the world, about, you know, 60, 70 years ago, it wasn't possible with a lot of the organs and that type of thing. But we've advanced to such an extent now that it's possible with a lot of organs and things like that. You know I get a lot of people that come in here, and I always mention it just in case they want it. And people say, oh, no, I don't want my dad's heart to be in somebody else, because then I'll feel that I'm a part of that person or something like that, you know. Or I don't need his finger to be used in, you know, these days they can sew fingers back on and things like that, you know, in certain instances. So a lot of people adopt that attitude. We don't want a part of our own close family attached to someone else. But if you also look at it, the good that you do, I mean, you take heart. I mean, it's incredible how long the people that have got heart transplants have lived for.
Right.
And what they can do with the heart today, what they can do with the organs that are donated. I mean, kidneys is another thing. How many lives aren't saved by people donating kidneys, by people dove in accidents, car accidents, you know, with good kidneys that donate their kidneys, and that there's a life for somebody else to stay alive, you know, a loved one somewhere else you're helping. So there are two ways of looking at it. One, you know, you might feel awkward that your family body parts are somewhere else. But two, you also get the joy to say, oh, you know, my family's body parts were used to keep somebody alive.
Yes.
And give them a bit of pleasure in life. You know, it's not nice to suffer from kidney failure or heart failure or, you know, liver problems and things like that. Those are all things that can be sorted medically these days with donations. So, yeah, it can be looked at from both angles.
Something to definitely think about. And Peter, if apart from the fact that you are doing wills, but if anybody has queries about wills, how do they get in touch with Alums?
Yeah, it's been quite nice this last week. I see there's well over 100 people that have checked this week on our site on the wills, which is fantastic. Shoshana will have it up and running by lunchtime today again, part two. So they can go on there. They can go on to Facebook and like us, Alums, A-L-L-A-M for Mary, S for Sugar, and you'll find it there. Our details are there. The telephone number, 043-721-018. I'll repeat, 043-721-018. We're situated at 6 Sansom Road in Berea, little side street where Pep Stores is. Make a call, set up an appointment, come and chat to us. We're not going to force you into making a will, but at least you'll get peace of mind, and you can discuss for free what you intend, what you want to happen to your body afterwards if necessary, whether you want to be kept alive on machines and that type of thing. All of that is there available.
Right, right. And
of course, they can look us up on your station as well. When they look up there, they'll find us always on there.
Great stuff. Peter, thank you very, very much. Have a good week. And thank you very much for helping people sort out their wills. And we'll chat again next week Monday.
No problem. Thanks,
Peter. Cheerio then.